from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Last month, a massive four-alarm fire in Oakland consumed a building under construction near Lake Merritt, displacing nearly 700 residents. And that blaze came less than a year after the deadly Ghost Ship warehouse fire, which killed 36 people. According to a new investigation by the East Bay Times, of the 879 Oakland buildings flagged as unsafe by firefighters since 2011, the city's Bureau of Fire Prevention only followed up on 183, or just 21%. And in this half-hour segment, we're going to talk with Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Thomas Peel, who co-authored the new East Bay Times report about why so many Oakland buildings remain unchecked. Thomas Peel, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Michael. It's a pleasure.
Well, pleasure to have you, but not a pleasure to talk about this. In fact, I think Rebecca Kaplan, Oakland supervisor, said it best. It's horrifying. I mean, the numbers are horrifying. And essentially, what we're hearing from Oakland officials and so forth is they didn't have the staff and they didn't have the software, but now they're on the road to recovering.
They say they're hiring more fire inspectors and getting a new software program. That doesn't really answer why for 6 years firefighters were entering something into a database that they thought would get a response from the civilian inspectors who have the time and expertise to do follow-ups, and the follow-ups rarely occurred. And you mentioned that 21% of times that they did actually get to a building, only a fraction of those were within a month of the referral being made. Sometimes they were years later.
It's pretty egregious by any standards, and the way to, I suppose, try to make sense of it is that it doesn't make any sense. firefighters go and they say this place is unsafe and wind up with no action for months, for years, and so forth. And what about the class division on this? There's a way of raising money by Oakland essentially having being called out to look at sprinklers and alarms and things of that sort, the fire department. There are a lot of poor people who own properties who can't afford to pay the bill. And so how much of this gets into that?
Well, we were told by a former fire inspector who worked in Oakland's vegetation unit checking properties up in the hills for overgrowth to try to avoid a reoccurrence of the 1989 fire. He was in meetings where inspections were generally discussed, and he told us that oftentimes the marching orders to the inspectors were to do the buildings first that generated the highest fees for the department. So they would go and do, say, a pressure test on new construction for a sprinkler system in a large building, but they wouldn't go to old apartment buildings in poor neighborhoods on referrals from the fire department. We reported that 216 buildings, apartment buildings, were referred for safety things, places where thousands of people live, and there was no response for years sometimes.
Is this maybe, I mean, obviously there's miscommunication between firefighters and inspectors on how to refer. Maybe you just need new reporting guidelines or more aggressive action. I mean, you know, you're looking for solutions, you immediately come up with those sort of thoughts.
What firefighters would do is they would enter a referral into the city's database and thinking that that somehow flagged the property, that would create an alert that would go to an inspector who would have more time to go out there and do a thorough look at the property. But those entries into the database just dead-ended. They didn't create any alert. They didn't flag anything.
And we're talking about residential as well as commercial properties. We're talking about schools, too.
Right? So there's about a dozen schools in the referral data.
So what about last spring when Mayor Schaaf said, you know, we're going to double the inspectors, we're going to essentially fix this problem?
At that time, we didn't know how deep this problem was. That was from the San Pablo Avenue fire where four people died. We knew that a referral had been made about that property in 2015, and action lagged on it for well more than a year, and they went in just before that fire, and they had conflicting opinions over whether the building should be evacuated. So we wanted to know from that how many other times referrals had been made and what the response was. In the meantime, the mayor said she was going to double the staff of the Inspection Bureau. That hasn't happened yet. They're in the hiring process. But it never really explained how deep this problem was and how many buildings it affected and how many people lived in those buildings.
It's an extraordinarily deep problem. And we're talking about from 2011 to early this year, 879 properties were essentially put up for inspection. And the number, as we say, is roughly about 183 or 21%. What about Councilman Gallo, who's saying the city should get maybe private inspectors, help the fire department until it can get up to speed?
You know, that may be helpful. One of the other things that comes out of this data, Michael, is, and we don't have absolute numbers on it, but this is what the data appears to tell us, that buildings in Oakland, residential buildings that have three or more units, which the state fire code requires to be inspected annually, are sometimes going years between inspections. That's a little bit more difficult to pull from the data because the data does not define the buildings by type. For these referrals, we went and we researched every one of those 879 properties to see what kind of building it was. The overall data has nearly 200,000 rows in it, entries of inspections. But samplings of apartment building addresses clearly show that they're not getting there every year as they're supposed to. So perhaps privatization is the answer.
Talking to Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and journalist Thomas Peel, who co-authored a piece in the East Bay Express, which, as we've been saying, is really a first-rate investigative piece about Oakland's Bureau of Fire Prevention only following up on about 20% of the buildings that were flagged as unsafe by firefighters since the year 2011. And let me give out the number now, because I know there are many of you who will want to weigh in here and have questions or comments for Thomas Peel. And we do invite your calls. The toll-free number you can join us at is 866-733-6786. Please feel free to be a part of the program. Again, you can call us now at 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org or post questions or comments right on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. You also can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. I get at some of the recent fires with you because you've been really on these and the recent fire near Lake Merritt and so forth, which has raised questions about of a different nature, and I know we'll hear from listeners about this. It was a four-alarm fire also back on the 7th of July, two blocks from Lake Merritt that we're talking about, but also it was the fourth suspicious fire of a large apartment, and construction sites have gone up in fire, and there's been some suggestions that, second construction site in 3 months. There's been some suggestions that this may have to do with anti-gentrification, arson, things along those lines. What do we know?
Well, we know that the building that burned twice on the Emeryville border, both of those fires remain unsolved. They're termed suspicious. The U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has offered a reward for information. They have an image of someone on a video camera.
FBI is involved too, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And someone leaving on a bicycle. They don't know who that person is. They have a security camera image of a person around the building that burned in Lake Merritt earlier this month. They're looking for that person. It seems that, you know, just thinking about this statistically, four of the same types of buildings burning all at night within a year, it seems almost statistically impossible to think that those were coincidences.
As they say in police work, coincidences often lead to far more than coincidences. And we're going to lead ourselves to some callers. And again, I do want to invite you to join the program. I know many people, particularly in the East Bay, around Oakland and Emeryville, are deeply concerned about what has been essentially pointed out in the East Bay Times article that we're talking about with Thomas Peel, the co-author of that article, reporter Thomas Peel, bringing this to our attention and bringing in these shocking numbers of 80% of firefighter warnings going unchecked. And a lot of these warnings were just simply never inspected. Some of them that were inspected, it was like a year later, months and months later, and so forth. But we're talking about the great proportion of them no follow-up.
Yeah. I mean, 80%.
Okay. Let me get some callers on her, and we'll begin with a caller from Oakland. Lisa, that's you. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. Thanks very much. I really like your show, and I'm so glad that you're talking about this. I live in Oakland, and I must confess I'm a former city employee under Jerry Brown. I did policy for him. And I live in a neighborhood that does not get all of its 911 calls answered. In fact, sometimes we have gotten busy signals. And we were told recently at a neighborhood services meeting where the cop didn't show up, that that's just the way it is. There's so much backlog. I think the city is in crisis, and I think that we have a really serious problem in terms of the way the city government has been run. I followed up diligently with the city after this neighborhood meeting about the 911 calls, and I have to say that, you know, having been a former bureaucrat, I know when someone's giving me the runaround. And I was asked to provide data and impossible statistics. So I think that there's a very onerous, scary issue at work in Oakland, that we have a city government that just isn't working. And I know under Jerry, he brought in a lot of outside people. He really tried to clean up the departments. I could talk for hours about this, but I think that I was just heartbroken when I heard about the ghost ship fire, because I knew that there had, that building should have been tagged, it should have been closed down. And there's just an attitude that we're never going to red tag anything. We're never going to close anything up. And I don't know if it's because of political reasons. I fear that it's kind of a horrible elixir of political reasons and also just largesse on the part of the city government. And there's not real leadership. I think that it's a really unfortunate time in Oakland, and it's proving to be quite dangerous. And I'm guessing that the arson fires are a reaction by a radical group to what happened at Ghost Ship. I think we could probably eventually trace that back. I mean, that's just total conjecture on my part.
Lisa, at this point, it is conjecture, but let me actually go to the heart of your comments, which I thank you for. The Oakland Fire Department, an Oakland Fire Department employee did see exposed electrical wire with Ghost Ship, right, Thomas?
Yeah, that is an allegation now in the wrongful death suits against the city and the building owner.
Recommended the tenant fix it. I mean, because it was hazardous.
Right.
Yeah. Lisa, I think
we don't fully know who that firefighter was. We only have a first name on that, and it's a little vague on when it happened. But it is an allegation in the lawsuit.
And it's also the lawsuit also says that the agencies failed to shut it down when they should have and presumably could have. But following up on Lisa's comments, which I thank her for, and we'll get to try to get to more of your calls here momentarily. But Joan writes, because Lisa was talking about things breaking down in the city level of government, it is up to the city council to make code enforcement a priority before a catastrophic event, not as a reaction. Let's not forget there is no surprise here. The reason for the 1991 Oakland firestorm was a direct consequence of the fire department's failure to monitor a minor grass fire. 30-plus years later, and all we see are variations on the city's lip service and indifference to code enforcement with tragic and preventable disasters. Comment from you on that, Thomas Peel.
Well, there clearly is deep, deep bureaucratic problems. You mentioned the ghost ship, and of course there's a fire station right around the corner from the ghost ship. We have reported that firefighters attended a party there, and there was no referral made about the obvious dangerous conditions in the building. That matter is being investigated by the city now. But it doesn't answer the question about why the ghost ship was not in the city inspection database, how it was just ignored time and time again. We know that police went there. We reported that multiple times, that police went there on numerous occasions, yet nobody flagged the building for illegal activity, including people living there and not having a cabaret license for all these parties that they threw. We know a police officer went there and determined that it was an illegal cabaret with a party going on in the middle of the night, but made no information available to others that then code enforcement would go in and look at it. We know they clearly knew that people were living there, yet nobody takes initiative to
Almost sounds like something cultural within, I mean, not only bureaucratic, but a kind of a culture of immobility.
There's a not my problem attitude that seems to permeate all of this.
Here's a listener who tweets, I lived in a fourplex, not a single inspection in 7+ years. The city of Oakland ignores information from private inspectors and doesn't follow their own fire and building code. I had to beg for an inspection. They told me it would cost $150. Let me bring another caller on here, and that's Jason from Dublin. Jason, join us. You're on. Jason, are you
there?
Hello. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's the wrong one. It's me, Dan from Santa Clara.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dan from Santa Clara. Go ahead.
I have a question. How much, according to your guest, is an issue of the, well, let's face it, corrupt and ineffective culture of Oakland City, and how much is it a money issue, and how much would, my question is, I think state or federal authorities should step in. Oakland obviously is no longer, has a mandate, and buy it out, move it in, and government can solve the problem as long as it's properly managed. So I'd like to hear a response to that kind of proposal.
All right. Some thoughts from you, Thomas Peel.
Well, clearly they need more fire inspectors. They've needed more fire inspectors for years because they're not getting to buildings when they should in an overall sense.
Actually, I have a statement from the mayor's office about that. They are at least saying that they are hiring more fire inspectors.
Yeah.
In fact, let me just read what they say here. Since December, we've been analyzing staffing needs, fee structures, and administration to determine that the Fire Prevention Bureau had been severely understaffed, under-resourced. Our plan to nearly triple capacity by increasing our inspection staff from 7 to 13 fire prevention inspectors is well underway. Not sure what that means, but...
Well, yes, but let's look historically at what got us to this point. The city lost, the fire department lost its ability to go out and inspect hazardous material sites. They're the only fire department in the state that state government has ever removed that responsibility from. They took it away from them because they were ineffectual. There was a grand jury audit a couple of years ago that Oakland's business inspection program, where firefighters go to retail businesses or all businesses supposedly yearly and inspect them, was missing thousands and thousands of businesses a year. We know that the vegetation inspections up in the hills have had problems. There's been accusations of falsified reports, of arguing back and forth between firefighters who do some of those inspections and the vegetation unit inspectors who write up the violations. The fire chief, in fact, the former fire chief, Teresa Deloche Reed, in January threatened at a public meeting to sue a resident who criticized the fire department and her over these ineffectual vegetation inspections. So everywhere one looks at this function in the fire department—
is dysfunction.
Is dysfunction.
Yeah.
There's bad issues there.
Let me bring some more of our callers on here, and we'll go to Chris next. Chris, thanks for waiting. You're on Forum. Morning.
Thank you. Well, there's been a lot of talk about fire department and police department failures to do things. But if you look at any other department in the city of Oakland, you're going to find the same problems. You know, part of it's not good management. Local residents have learned if there's problems in their neighborhoods, calling the city is a waste of time. You know, whether it's about streets, dangerous items, neighborhood groups, you know, that have... input into the city time and time again, nothing happens. Through lack of management from the top about these, you know, everyday departments that really are not working very well. And there's also, as mentioned, there's a lack of money. Where's all the money going? You know, a lot of it goes into pensions. What are the priorities? If you want to build an apartment building from scratch in Oakland, the city is open ears. They listen to developers, they cater to developers. But that's just a real unbalance of how resources are used.
Chris, I thank you for the call. Were things better, in your judgment, Thomas Peel, under Jerry Brown?
Well, I wasn't really working in Oakland then. I was working in another office that we had out in Contra Costa County at the time. But there was a feeling that Jerry Brown and his city manager at the time, Robert Bob, had more of a handle on things. That there was some
Olivia Schaff, of course, was part of that administration.
She was. Yeah. It just, you know what this reminds me of, Michael? On the East Coast a long time ago, I covered a city and a kid drowned in a city swimming pool. And it turned out that the lifeguard had forged credentials and couldn't swim. And this turns now to Oakland, and I think about this sometimes.
Incompetence is what you're thinking about.
Lifeguard couldn't swim.
Yeah.
There's nobody minding the store and looking to verify information. No one looked at this fire inspection data but us. The city has it. If we can figure it out, certainly the city could have figured it out that there was a deeper problem with these referrals and that buildings are not being inspected.
Again, we're talking to reporter Thomas Peel, who co-authored the new East Bay Times report about why so many Oakland buildings remain unchecked. And that article is on our website, kqed.org. And we go to another caller, an Oakland caller, and that's you. David, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, I know the kind of discussion at hand and the questions that have been posed by previous callers kind of obviously tell me that the government, fire inspectors, and what have you aren't going to be able to completely solve this problem. So my question is, I'm wondering about the role of just average citizens in reporting obvious violations. For example, I know in late 2015, one YouTuber, a video logger, made a whole series about all the health and safety violations in his apartment complex, I believe, in West Oakland. And eventually everyone in that building got evicted, kind of to the ire of the community. I'm wondering what you think about that.
Are you really asking about the role maybe of social media and citizen action, and some thoughts from you on that, Thomas Peel?
Well, I think that, you know, citizens should try to bring this stuff to as much attention as they can. If someone's living in an apartment building and there's no fire extinguishers and exit signs, they should raise heck about it.
And we'll thank you for the call, David, and move to another caller. Guillermo, morning. You're on the air. Is this Robin? Is this Guillermo?
Hi, that's Guillermo. Hi.
We want to find out who the caller is. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so over through the whole conversation, everybody has been talking about the role of the city and the fire department and the people who are responsible for implement the regulations. But nobody has been addressed the consumers. As a consumer, also, I'm a contractor, and, you know, so many times people go with the cheapest guy, and a guy who doesn't have a no license, doesn't know what he's doing, they hire it because they don't want to pay a professional to get it done right.
You're raising another important point here, Guillermo. I'm interested in Thomas Peel's response to that. These are hiring people who are like the lifeguards who can't swim. That's part of maybe the whole equation.
Well, we understand now, finally, that numerous fire inspectors didn't have certification for the job.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really troubling. That, one, there's not enough people, and two, they aren't certified, and three, that department, that bureau seems historically to have been pretty leaderless. The former fire chief, Chief Reed, was the acting fire marshal for a couple of years, which should be a separate job. You know, the fire marshal now, Mr. Trujillo, seems to be a bit of a non-entity. He won't talk to us. He doesn't seem very active in the community as far as taking to a bully pulpit about fire protection, which is kind of what a fire marshal's job is. And clearly, you know, there hasn't been, until a response to the San Pablo Avenue fire, any movement to hire more people, to make sure that they're trained properly, and to, you know, get that bureau doing what it should be doing. It took literally, and unfortunately, it's taken 40 fire deaths to get to this point where we're talking about these things.
Well, here's another point of view. Jim writes, can somebody comment on the real root cause, building and property owners that create these unsafe conditions? I think it's incorrect to characterize the city as the cause.
Building owners should follow the fire code. Building owners should make sure that they have exit lights and they should have fire extinguishers. And it's government's job to come in and check that that is correct. And there, you know, and I'm talking there about a couple of more superficial aspects of the fire code, but ones that you know, people can certainly understand. You know, there's a responsibility, I think, both ways there. Yeah, the building owners need to make sure that their buildings are up to code. And the city's job is to check, and they're not checking.
We get all kinds of different points of view, as you know, on forum. I'm just going to read this. Natasha writes, if these parties and events had more black participants, I'm pretty confident the Ghost Ship facility and all of its parties would have been shut down. We'll get another caller on here from Oakland. Hugh, that's you. Morning.
Yes, good morning. Wanted to ask, seems like the number of positions filled keeps coming up, and maybe that's being done now, but whether it's in the police department inspectors, building inspectors, or in other area of public safety, police investigators, that those positions have been continuously underfunded and not filled according to the need of the city. And that seems to tie into the budget. Is anybody investigating the funding and budgeting of these positions?
Thomas Peel.
Well, you know, they had a fire marshal's position filled in the budget for a couple of years, and it was left open. They had the ability to hire somebody, and they didn't. And, you know, we see that the police department is now probably about 300 officers shy of its historic goal of having 1,000 cops.
Let me just quickly go again to the statement that was given to us by Fire Department Interim Chief Darren White, who says, we've created two new staff functions to ensure inspection referrals and follow-ups are happening without exception or delay starting in January. We assigned two field operations bureau staff to the Fire Prevention Bureau, one to assistant fire marshal, a sworn position to coordinate inspection activities performed by firefighters. So there is progress, apparently.
Well, there's progress. It's just, you know, as I said a couple of moments ago, it's taken 40 deaths to
too
get
little,
progress.
Too late, maybe?
Feels that way.
Good work on this, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate it.
Thomas Peel, again, co-authored the new East Bay Times report. It is in our website or on our website. You can access it by going to kqed.org. And thank you for being a part of this morning's opening hour. We have another hour of forum coming up, and we're going to decidedly shift gears in the next hour and talk with a Marin County psychotherapist about procrastination. Mary Lemie has written a book about called What Motivates Getting Things Done, Procrastination, Emotions, and Success. Stay tuned for that. And thank you for being, again, a part of this opening hour. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. An hour is repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. You can always let us know what you think about what you hear on forum or would like to hear by emailing us forum@kqed.org. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.